Welcome to another Kundalini Conversation. I'm your host, Brent Spirit, and my guest today is Dimple Bindra. Dimple, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Brent, for having me. It's my pleasure and my honor.
Oh, of course, it was my honor to be on your show, the Dimple Bindra Show. We had a great conversation about my Kundalini awakening, and of course, now it's your turn to share about your journey. So, Dimple is a mental health and spiritual life coach. She focuses specifically on supporting women through the emergence of the divine feminine on the planet. She's here to help betrayed and burnt out women to rebuild their lives through yoga, meditation, and of course, supporting those going through Kundalini awakening. You can connect with Dimple by following any of the links in the description. Like I said, she's the host of the Dimple Bindra Show, the podcast. Great stuff going on. She's got a lot going on Instagram as well. So today we'll find out about Dimple's Kundalini awakening journey. Of course, the reason that I like to do these interviews is because I like to showcase how diverse this journey can look so that people out there can say, hey, I see a little bit of similarities between the journeys of those I have on the show and what people may be going through. Of course, the stereotypical idea of spiritual awakening and Kundalini awakening is that it's this really blissful, peaceful journey, but in reality it's really not. It can be very difficult in so many unique ways. And so today we'll unpack a little bit about some of the difficulty that Dimple's been through, and of course the transformation that she's gone through, the benefits that she's gone through, and we'll get you to share a little bit about your wisdom and support those that may be going through some dark times. So, with all of that said, I'm gonna invite you, Dimple, to share with us about how this began for you. You can take us back as early as you'd like, when the spiritual theme began to emerge in your life.
Sure. Thank you so much, Brent. I just sometimes feel like I don't know where to start. I'm 40 now and I'm like, damn. Looking back, I would say let's start at when I was about 16 or 17 years old. I would contact my teacher at that time because I was having these crazy episodes of falling asleep and then waking up. But as I would wake up, I would feel as if men have raped me. And I would speak, and I couldn't speak this to my mom. I couldn't speak this to anybody, but I had this teacher who was my mom's so-called brother. So we had this family connection, and we're supposed to, because I come from an Indian family. So we're supposed to call him uncle. We're supposed to just respect him because he was a very famous astrologer. This is like back in the days. He was my teacher, and I always would wake up with these weird dreams. And when I would wake up, I would look at my body, and my body would have bruises, and I wouldn't understand what this is. And over time, it made me feel as if I'm crazy. It made me feel as if I'm actually going and visiting these men, and they are sexually assaulting me. And I just don't remember it, but I couldn't make sense of it. So I'm having all these like weird, crazy, horrific dreams. And when I spoke to my teacher about this, he would say things like, yeah, you're getting these dreams and you don't need to be afraid anymore. I'm like, why? This is crazy. I'm seeing blue bruises on my thighs. I see liquid on my body, like I would wake up with this crazy liquid on my body. I'm like, what is this stuff? And then he mentioned when I was ready, in a few years later, he mentioned, you are being visited by spirits. Okay, that didn't make any sense to me. And I'm like, why am I visited by spirits? And then he says, because he was an astrologer, he would say, oh, one day you are gonna help people to understand about the other dimension. And it clearly says in your chart. And I'm like, it's just 15. I don't know. I don't understand these things. He's like, your future, you're gonna be a yoga teacher, you're gonna be a spiritual teacher, and this will make sense to you back then. Okay, there was some partial truth to that. So he would start telling me things that I have these visitations because I am spiritually very open and my boundaries are not closed. My aura is not closed, and I did not understand boundaries and auras and chakras at that time. So I'm talking about I'm only like at very young age. So then all of a sudden, when he started saying, you cannot be afraid because when you feel these entities around you, they may come up in different shapes. And I would usually see men, and I would see like sometimes men with masks on. I would just see that. Okay, I'll maybe when I finish the story, I'll tell you how this is all interconnected for me, at least in my reality. So he started telling me, you gotta practice yoga because if you don't practice yoga, things will go wrong for you. I'm like, okay. So I came to India, left everything in New York City. So I was born in Abu Dhabi. This all started happening when I was in New York City. At age of, I think 18 or 19, I left New York and I went to India and I started studying yoga and meditation and what that all means. And this teacher was at that time, he was in Abu Dhabi. So I would just constantly be on phone with him and I would tell him all my experiences. And when I started studying about meditation and yoga, I felt like my body started. I reduced a lot of weight. I was overweight. I was 200 pounds. I had severe cystic acne. And even in my reality at that time, I did go through abuse. But it's like I'm going through abuse physically. And when I'm falling asleep, I'm going through abuse mentally. And I would wake up again. So, but those men in my dreams are different than the men outside of me. And I guess that abuse was happening because I was always around men and I was a little girl. Just you can call it child labor. I had to work since I was 10 years old to provide for my family. So it didn't make any sense. And I was going crazy. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me. What the fuck is this? Am I allowed? I hope I'm allowed to curse on this podcast. Sorry.
No problem.
We're talking about divine feminine, but hey, divine feminine is this too. So years later, he will start telling me things like, after I started practicing yoga, I started practicing meditation, I understood about spirits, I understood about my body, started shedding that weight I had, started clearing up my skin because I had severe cystic acne on my face. Years later, he would start saying things like, now you have to learn about chakras, and now we need to really cleanse your chakras. And I'm like, okay. And I studied and I studied. And then because he was my teacher, I followed everything, whatever he said to the T. And he said, one day your Kundalini will awaken. And when your Kundalini awakens, things will make more sense to you. So for me, as a girl who was insecure, had no confidence, had no academic degree, had to let go of going to school, couldn't go to school, just passed ninth grade, got my GED in the United States, and just started working. And just had yoga certifications. When he started saying Kundalini, 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 to me, I held on to that word. And to me, that Kundalini is like an award I need to achieve. So for me, I was all about, oh wow, one day when I get there, things will get better, or I will start understanding and make sense of all these things. Least did I know that my practice that he made me do was so Monday to Friday, I would work, teach yoga. Saturday and Sundays, I would still teach yoga, but then he would make me over the weekends meditate for 7 to 10 hours a day. So I had no social circle. I was isolated. He would tell me things like, you shouldn't be with your family, it's all an illusion. So, and then later I found out, okay, what his real sense was. And so he's giving me this dream of achieving Kundalini energy, and I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. He would tell me those things. And then 2014. In 2014, here I'm building up to practicing yoga, meditation, 7 hours a day, 10 hours a day, no boyfriends, no friends, no social circle, no parties. Like what a girl would do. I didn't have none of that. And in 2014, he said, Dimple, now you're ready. You can now finally come to India. So then he flew from Abu Dhabi to India. And now I'm going to teach you about Kundalini. I'm like, great. Finally, I'm ready. I've achieved something all these years of practice. Okay. 2014, I booked my tickets, had a farewell party at all my studios and my yoga studios, wherever I taught at. And then he would just ghost me. I have packed my stuff, booked my ticket, quit all my odd jobs that I was doing anyway. It was all yoga. And he would just ghost me. And I didn't understand what that meant. And a part of me was so shattered. I'm like, I worked all my life to grow and to become this person, like spiritually, but I haven't achieved what I was supposed to achieve. Because now I understand it was all the mother's divine way of awakening my body. Later on, I found out this teacher was just trying to use me, and he was just trying to traffic me and get me married someplace for whatever, $65,000. So when he ghosted me, it's like my world just shattered, because he was like my mom, my dad, my friend, my teacher. He was older than me. So I put all my hopes and dreams into him. Now this person is out of my life. I found out his truth. And then all of a sudden, what do? I hide. And for 2 years, I was hiding. And for 2 years, I couldn't face myself to anybody, because I'm like, shit, my reality was not my reality. And then I would go inward. And that Kundalini hype that he created in my head, I was like, screw everyone. I'm gonna be my own teacher, and I'm gonna figure this all out by myself. So I meditated like crazy. And then one day, boom, something happened in me. And I'm gonna stop right there, because if you have to ask me any questions, please, maybe I'm talking too much.
No, you're not talking too much at all. I want to hear you keep sharing. I mean, that's really an intense, challenging way to kick off life, to kick off the spiritual journey. And I'm really sorry, that some of these men are out there taking advantage of women in particular. And of course, it's a major betrayal. And I can see this theme of why you're here to support women that have experienced betrayal to healing and finding their power once again. You might be the first guest I've had on the show, if I'm not mistaken, that was aware of Kundalini prior to this taking place in their life. I think virtually everyone that I've experienced a conversation with on the show here sort of seemingly accidentally awakened it or didn't know what was happening to them when it happened. But your journey is a little different because you had this word. You knew that, spiritual practice would stir this up in you. And so you were practicing with this in mind. So continue on with your journey. So something takes place. Can you describe a little bit more about this experience when something did open up?
Absolutely. So the period when I found out that he was going to just sell me off, and obviously I did not go to India. I stayed where I stayed, and I just hid myself like I was hiding. During that time, one night, I shouldn't say one night, one day after I came back from teaching yoga, I felt this sense of presence outside of me. And this presence just said a word to me, and the word was gift. I just heard that, and I'm like, what is this? Why is this presence a physical presence, actually, but has no body, that said this word gift? And I don't know if it said you are the gift or the gift is inside you, something to do with gift. Okay. And I'm meditating again, as usual. I have my rituals. And then fast forward to 2015. I get enrolled in a school. It's called the Academy of Intuition Medicine in San Francisco, under the guidance of another teacher. Because this time I'm like, if I ever go under a teacher, she or he has to be reputed and needs to have, credentials, not just any other random teacher. So, okay, I chose a teacher who has a PhD in energy medicine, has her own school, was a woman, so made it easier for me. And I would go and learn more. Because a part of me after the betrayal was, I thought, you can help me find the Kundalini in me. You means the teacher. But no, I'll find it by myself through my own ways. Because I know she's inside me. Because at least that much he taught me already. And I'm like, I know she's inside me. She will give me the way. In one day in meditation, I see this clear vision of a school. Because I was like exploring, traveling to different countries just to learn about Kundalini. And I was in interviewing. I interviewed almost like 300 and I don't know, 30 teachers or something, all over the world so I can go and learn under their guidance. But then one day in meditation, it clearly said, and I'm in the Bay Area, California. So it said, San Francisco, Academy of Intuition Medicine. The whole name came in my meditation and the teacher's name came. And I wrote it down. I Googled it. I'm like, oh. And she was teaching all about Kundalini. And here's a school I can pay for it, go in and learn all about it. And here I was just learning from a con man, you know? Anyway, so I started going, and then there was various practices that we learned about Kundalini. And she used to call me. I was the only person in the class, and I told her from day one that I really want to learn about Kundalini, and that's all I'm here for. So my class name was Kundalini Junkie. She already knew anything that she'll teach me, I'll get it because I'll get it. So anyway, the first day, the day came that she's gonna teach me about Kundalini. Okay, we did our meditation and I felt a presence, but nothing much. But she said, keep practicing at home. Because in your ego mind, you think, oh, today is the day I'm gonna achieve it. But it doesn't work that way. The mother comes when she wants to come. So I kept on practicing in 2016 on some morning. I still have a video of it. I don't remember the day. Some morning, I remember I was in my first relationship with my ex-husband, and he left for his job. I was still on the bed. It was 9 a.m. in the morning or something. I'm sleeping, and then I felt this rush of crazy energy in my spine. And I felt like so much of heat and like a volcano inside me. It's hard for me to explain this. But this heat of energy inside my spine, and it's stirring up something. And I knew this is Kundalini. And all I'm telling myself mentally is, oh, thank you, Ma. Thank you. You're here. Sorry. For me, it was like a child who just wants to be under the presence of her mother. So I was so happy and of course sad. And I'm feeling this crazy presence in my body. And I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you. You don't know how much I did to get through, just to get to you. I'm sorry.
It's nothing to apologize for.
And then I just surrendered and I said, do whatever you want to do. I'm here for you. Do whatever you want me to feel. Do whatever you want me to do. And for so many days, I think for the first time, I felt love in my body. And it was crazy energy. It was just like, I am on like a different, how should I say, a different dimension. As I'm in this planet, I'm in this body, but this energy is just moving through me. And then I feel the sense of a snake in front of my eyes. And the snake has a color. I remember, sorry, I'm like crying and laughing at the same time. It had like this color of, I think it was black, but then it had like red eyes or yellow eyes. I was feeling so much heat. And then something told me during that time, oh yeah, and I was moving in different directions. I moved in because I was on my bed, my mattress was on the floor. I was moving in like real weird yoga positions that I actually have not practiced, you know? I'm like, why am I moving? And I'm moving, and oh yeah. And in my ears, I heard the sound of a train. I keep hearing, and I'm like, oh, so some things I knew would happen, but whatever I knew, that didn't happen. Something else happened. It's like whatever you learn about a subject, until you don't experience it, you don't know what it is. Okay. And then from my lower back all the way up to my heart center, I felt this presence, and then it went all the way to my head. Now my head has all this pressure, crazy pressure. And then something told me, hey, leave the house, go outside. I don't even wash my face. I don't even brush my teeth. I get up and I just go outside. And usually that never happens. I always want to make sure I put on my makeup, whatever, to go out. I go out, and when I go out, it's funny. I'm afraid of cockroaches and insects in my normal life. But that day, when I had this awakening, even when I'm seeing an insect, I'm like, wow, you're so beautiful. And I see a dog and I'm like, wow, I'm in love with the dog. And I see a tree and I'm like, I'm in love with you trees. I'm in love. I'm like, I'm in love with everybody, male, female, older, younger, animal, insect. I'm like, what is this crazy feeling? And then the park was right next to my house, so I just have to walk 10 minutes. Something was telling me, go to the park. I go to the park and I always walk around that park like a normal person. But this time it was different. It was a presence of divine power. I don't know what to say, but a presence of as of love is inside me and it's exhibiting outside of me in every sentient being out there. And like I'm connected to them in some way. And as if we speak the same language, they're not humans, but my consciousness is connected to their consciousness. And I'm like, damn. This is what the experience means. And that was my first experience.
Yeah, I can feel that love as you're sharing and expressing. It's infectious in a sense. Yeah, beautiful, profound experience. And it's you were tearing up, getting emotional as you share about it. And of course, you were apologizing, but I just, I want to just share that many in our audience can relate, right? It's such a profound experience, whether we were like you working so hard towards such an awakening, or if it happened spontaneously, it evokes such great, great emotion regardless. So this is very interesting. You knew what you were working towards in a sense. It begins to happen, and then yeah, when it happens, you're like, whoa, so this is what I was really working towards. Yeah, we can never truly understand until we have such an experience. Before we continue on with your journey, I just want to get your take. You've been referring to this force within as she, as her, as the divine mother. Can you share a little bit about your relationship w with this presence as being feminine and just contextualize that a little bit for those out there who maybe haven't heard of this idea before?
Sure. I want to go back to like my programming though. So in my programming, which means when I was born, and I was born in the Sikh family. So we have 10 Sikh gurus and they're all our male. And we at the temple would pray to them. So my dad was from a Sikh family. My mom was also from a Sikh family, but she would believe in the Hindu gods and goddesses. And there was always a battle between my dad and my mom because he was Sikh. My mom, it believes in everybody. But in my head, I'm like, wait, is it a god or is it a goddess or is it both? I never wondered about it until I had this experience. And this, when I was about, I would say, 2 years old. Now, I don't remember this, but my mom has told me the stories and the neighbor has told my mom these stories. So when I was 2 years old, I'm just going back in time to the she aspect that I didn't even know of, but she was always inside of me and I never felt her presence. But when I was two, I don't have this memory. My mom said that one day we were in India, I think, I don't know which city. My mom took me to her in-laws, and she and her in-laws are also Sikhs. And all of a sudden, I wake up from like it's nighttime. I wake up and I ask my mom in Hindi, "Mujhe lal kapda do," which means give me a red cloth. And she's thinking in her head, she's only two. How is she speaking this language? Because I didn't even speak Punjabi. Forget about speaking in Hindi. I'm speaking in Hindi. And I'm like, "Mujhe lal kapda do. Give me the red cloth." And somehow my mom knew, and she instantly woke up in the night. She went to the neighbor and she's like, "My daughter just woke up and she's asking for this. What does this mean?" And the neighbor was religious. She's like, "Oh, looks like the goddess is inside your daughter. My mom is like, oh my God, if the goddess comes inside my daughter, my in-laws are gonna kill me. Her in-laws, my grandparents, were very like controlling Sikhs, I would say, or not too open. And then she said that you would ask for the cloth and you would put it on your head and you would say, Jai Mata Di, Jai Mata Di, you would do this. And I'm freaking 2 years old. And Jai Mata Di means hail to the goddess, hail to the goddess, you know? And I'm like, Ma, really? And now I asked my mom, like, Ma, really, did I do this? Or is it a freaking story? She's like, no, Dimple, you did it and you even healed a man. I'm like, I can't heal a man. It must be something else. I'm like, tell me about the man story. So after I asked her, she says, I put the cloth on my head, I started twirling my head, and then I say to her, I need this sweet, some sort of a sweet. And that sweet is only found in some other neighbor's house down the street. And she's like, how does this 2-year-old want that sweet? And how does she even know it? So then again, the neighbor friend, the religious friend would say, Mother knows everything. If she's asking for it, you better bring it. So my mom goes in the middle of the night, goes to that house, knocks on the door. There is this man who opens the door. This man is handicapped. And he's like, yes, we just got the sweet today. We went to this temple. And my mom's like, please, my daughter is asking for it. Can I have that sweet? And then she goes and she gets that sweet. And the man says, I also want to come. And he's handicapped. So he's like walking slowly to our place in Delhi. I think, yeah, it's Delhi. Now I remember. And then when my mom brings the sweet, I tell my mom, I don't want the sweet from your hand. I want it from this man. So this man gives me the sweet and I hold his feet or legs. I don't have this recall, but my mom says I touched his hand, his legs or something, and his legs heal. So this was one story that I heard from my mom. So, and then my mom would say, Dimple, growing up, you always had something in your hands. If anyone was sick, like my dad had paralysis, I would touch his face and he would heal. My mom's mother, so my nanny, had also some sort of a hand injury. I would touch her, it would heal. So this was just growing up stories. I do have some memory of it, but I couldn't make sense. But when all these things happened, I started understanding we've been praying to God, thinking he's a masculine figure. You know, he's a masculine figure. But then if all these men in the world came in this world, some female must have actually brought them to the world, right? So then I started questioning this idea of is there a God or maybe it's the goddess? It's not God. We have to pray to the goddess. So that's how I learned and I learned and I learned and I figured out, okay, eventually, even in the Hindu religion, and I'm saying this is just from my experience, that actually there was Adi Shakti, which is the goddess, which is the divine feminine, who actually gave birth to this entire world. And then came Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, which means, you know, Brahma. And Vishnu Mahesh, so it's the Trinity. So this thing challenged my headspace, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been praying to all these male gods, but I was supposed to pray to the female gods, and that's when it all started for me.
Fascinating. Really, I'm so happy I asked this question. I love to hear these stories. 2-year-old asking for a red cloth and then chanting to the mother. It's just so remarkable. Wow. Wow.
And I want to say this, Brent. I was not from that religion, right? I was born in a Sikh family. So it's funny to me when my mom said this. But as I grew up now at this period, like last, I would say 3 to 5 years since my Kundalini awakening, okay? Every time I hear some mantra or any mantra, it can be from any religion. It can be from Christianity, it can be from God, it can be gospel. Something happens in me. I start crying, and it looks funny to the people around me, like, oh, she's showing off or whatever. I'm like, I don't care now. But it's just really happening inside of me. I don't know what this means. I just feel it's like I'm connected with the goddess so strongly now. So, and I also feel the mission that I'm on, like helping women with betrayal, helping women, you know, who are burnt out, or helping women that have traumas, have been oppressed and have been sexually assaulted and violenced and raped. I feel this was never my mission until she came and told me, this is what you need to focus on. Like, this is who we are. We are not supposed to be in this space. So maybe you can just go share and help one woman. Even if you help one woman, it will have a ripple effect in the world. So now my practice is only practicing to like praying to the goddess. Despite the fact my family doesn't think it's right, despite the fact, I mean, I don't really care because I live my life and I'm like, and this boldness in me, that this all just started after the Kundalini awakening. I'm like, I feel like it's a new birth for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and I can relate as well. I say that I'm a devotee of the mother. I she shows up in my life in so many interesting ways. The presence, of course, within the system as the Shakti, as the Kundalini, but externally as well. I'm a devotee of the mother, and that's my dedication to even this work here, is just to celebrate her with those who have had some connection with her. Incredible. Yeah. And you mentioned this prioritizing the divine feminine. And I think of the Adi Shakti mantra, where it says, the first force of all creation, to you I bow. So the first force being the divine mother, the divine feminine, out of which it all comes. I want to continue on with your journey about, after this major energetic awakening, the Kundalini rising up the spine and awakening the heart. But I have to ask, why do you think that at 2 years old you had such a connection to the Divine Mother? What's your theory or understanding about that experience? Why you and why not others, for example?
And this question always intrigued me to myself. And I'm like, Ma, are you really serious? And she's like, Dimple, why would I lie to you? Why would I lie to you? You know? I'm like, yeah, but you know, so when you are conditioned to think God is a guy or like a male figure, and all of a sudden you're talking about this goddess entering my body. So this didn't make sense to me. So I feel now in this moment of my life, it's a full circle. It's a full circle that now I understand. Okay, I always had her presence. She came, she healed others, she helped others. Because my entire life theme was about helping others, healing others, whether it's my family, like serving, nurturing them, supporting them, despite the fact that I was going through shit on my own. Which now it doesn't matter. Maybe that was my mission. So okay. So my entire theme was around what a mother would do. And even today, I'm not a mother, like I don't have children, but I can proudly say I have mothered a lot of adults. I've mothered a lot of people. And I just feel, and maybe I just lost your question, but your question, I just feel this is all I'm gonna do. And I just feel the mother always wanted, or the mother isn't everybody, but we just don't see it. We are focused on something else in our lives. We are focused on either career or okay, let's make babies, let's have a husband, let's have a house. And deep down, we have this awakening going on, which we are just repressing and repressing and repressing with our thoughts or our desires of delusion. So how will she awaken? She's only, I think she only awakens. This is my personal belief because it has happened to me. I think she awakens through your suffering, through your trauma. I think she awakens when you are so deeply rock bottom, and then she's like, all right, now it's time for you to awaken to see that you went through this because I put you through all this suffering so you can go help others.
Yeah. Incredible. What I think I was trying to get out of you was perhaps some awareness of a previous lifetime of spiritual practice or devotion to the
Oh.
mother.
Sorry.
No,
Sorry.
you don't
That's
have to apologize. That
okay.
was very
I
insightful
misrecorded.
nonetheless.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. So when I went to Peru, so I went to Peru because again I was exploring and I wanted to understand about my past. I wanted to understand about what's going on with my life. Why have I been assaulted multiple times? And in one of the ceremonies, and this was an ayahuasca ceremony. So first we did coca leaf ceremony, and then the shaman made us do the ayahuasca ceremony. And then the shaman clearly said, okay, ayahuasca ceremony is a grandmother spirit. So it's the mother spirit. She does not come to anybody or everybody. She only comes to those who have good intentions. So if you're here for the wrong intention, just to, come for recreational, she's not gonna come visit you. But when I went there, my whole intention was I need to heal my body. And I need to really see what's gonna come up for me. That was my intention. So after I had the ayahuasca ceremony, in one of my visions, I was already in my past life. I was a part of one part of my past incarnation was in the Peruvian region. In that region, in my past life, I was already a healer. Some sort of a healer. And the vision I had was I'm in a tribe of girls and I'm standing, they all are sitting. So I'm already a healer or teacher. And they all are like doing this to me, like bowing their hand. And so I'm thinking, oh, wait, I must be some yogi, some teacher, some queen. I don't know. But I'm like, maybe, oh, yeah. And as we're bowing down, I realized they're not bowing down to me. They're bowing down to a statue behind me that's of a mother figure. So I'm like, wait, maybe I was always a devotee of the mother, but I just didn't know it in this lifetime. But then when I was born in this lifetime, maybe she came and gave me her presence again. So I just connected that dot with me. And even if you just see like, when I go to a temple or when I go any place else, I always feel that whenever I see a feminine figure, I am more drawn to the feminine instead of being more drawn to the masculine. Like, especially now. Now I'm like, nope, I just can't. It's just I keep telling myself, nope, I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to what she wants me to do. So I just think there was this past connection and maybe that's why we women, some women who are awakened in this lifetime, maybe we are chosen by her because we have a mission. And that mission has nothing to do with us. It has to do serving the other person.
Incredible. Very, very interesting. One more point I want to see if you have any thoughts on. Perhaps you were a great healer in a previous lifetime. It seems that many who were great healers, yogis, mystics, saints, sages, whatever we may have been. Still, we come into this lifetime with great gifts, perhaps healing gifts like you did as a child. And yet, it seems like many of us still have to go through suffering again, perhaps in this lifetime, to become initiated or reinitiated into our healing abilities. But also, it seems to better understand the challenges of people here today in our culture. What are they dealing with so we can really understand? Does this resonate with your journey?
It does. It definitely does because I always felt like, okay, if I was a healer, oh yeah, in one of my lifetimes I was a healer, which I had the vision of. And then in Peru, day three after ayahuasca, or I should say day four, after the ayahuasca ceremony, we had the San Pedro ceremony, which is another plant medicine. That's a grandfather med plant grandfather spirit, as they call it. I left my body and I went to this different place, and I did not know what that meant, but it was a very beautiful place. When I asked the shaman, I'm like, "What does this mean?" And then we were supposed to he's supposed to tell us about our previous lifetime. And then he said something about he said, "You were a yogi in your previous lifetime. But then my intellectual mind is like, if I was a yogi, how come I didn't get enlightenment then? Why did I have to reincarnate again and then do all this suffering again, all over again? Like, why, you know? And then he said, maybe you didn't complete your goal or your karma. I was like, yeah, it makes sense, man. No wonder we come here to suffer. I'm like, thank you. I really needed that. So I feel 100%. I feel all these light workers and mystics and people who are here to serve others, they are here because they couldn't fulfill their path in previous lifetime. And this lifetime, they have to come back. Maybe I'm starting from the end, or maybe I'm starting from the beginning. I don't know. Maybe I'm starting from the middle. I have no clue. But I feel we are reinitiated again in this process. No matter where you're going, you're gonna come back to the path that was chosen for you, is what I feel.
Yeah,
Like
makes sense.
And I'm saying that because it's not that I haven't tried exploring other things or even other paths in my life, but every time I explore something, I'm back to the mother. I'm back to the mother. So by hook or crook, she's like, nope, this is your path. This is what you need to do. So focus here. Stop wasting time there. Stop being distracted here. Is I think that's her way, for me at least.
Yeah, for me as well. So you have
Cool.
this profound awakening experience. You're outside, you're connecting with everything, this deep love and recognition that all is, interconnected, it seems. What follows this experience?
Oh man, what follows it is like accepting everything that comes my way, the good, the bad, the ugly, the I don't want this bullshit, but I still have to accept it. I think that comes my way. Also seeing people as they really are without the judgments and the reactions to their behavior. And I feel that could be a problem in some ways, like for a lot of people, like just accepting toxic behaviors, you know, accepting abuse for some time. And I was that person. Accepting, because I'm seeing the divine in them, right? I'm like, oh, maybe the divine wants me to help this person. And being a therapist or a mother to abusive people. But then the divine is like, nope, this is not what you're supposed to do. You know, there has to be some boundaries. So I think that also came on this journey. Because the older me with Kundalini awakening was, oh, everyone's amazing, and I'm gonna go help the whole world. Yeah, I tried that, but then I'm like, I got betrayed and assaulted, and I'm like, okay, no, maybe it's time for me to learn some boundaries. So I started learning some boundaries, and I did not know what boundaries mean. Then I started learning about self-worth, because I used to be like, yeah, I'll teach you for free, I'll teach you for free, I'll teach you for less money. Okay, no, it came some. So I learned about self-worth. That no, Dimple, you cannot charge like this much when you have this much of expenses, you know. You have to balance it out. So I think the energy exchange, I learned that. I learned about, oh, this was a big one. Through my Kundalini experience, I learned to trust the intuition that I get in the first 5 seconds of meeting somebody. If the first 5 seconds of meeting someone, you're feeling something is wrong about this person, trust it. Don't go with your headspace and still work it out and knowing later on it'll be like a shit show. So I learned that from my Kundalini experience. I will say these three are the main ones for me. Like learning about toxicity, learning about my worth, learning about my boundaries. Oh, lastly, fourth one was also that all of us are so empowered, we just don't feel it. Like we don't know about it. We are just stuck in our self-doubt mind. We believe these self-doubts, the inner critic, but that's not true. We believe those words. I think that that's just the shadow side of us. So I learned that no, we are powerful human beings. Whatever we want, we can manifest it as humans. So that's what followed, Brent.
Yeah, incredible. Once again, it sounds like further initiations towards being of service, towards being a light worker. These are great lessons. I know many listening are going through or have gone through significant awakenings. The heart opens and we want to serve everyone. We see everyone as connected. We want to just give, give, give. But of course, there's the initiations that come to teach us boundaries. I remember being on my knees asking the mother, Shakti, why have you put me in this situation? What am I here to learn? It took a while before I got boundaries. Okay. I've been put in this situation so I could stand up and walk away. Okay. That was a difficult lesson to learn, but definitely important for us here as sensitive people, light workers, open hearted. So after the big energetic awakening, did you have any intense period of purification or purging? Did you have all sorts of stuff coming up to be released, or was that not really much of a theme for you?
Oh, I think that has been my theme. I don't know when it's gonna end. Definitely a lot of release, and maybe, and these episodes, they just come out of nowhere. Like I'll just, I'll be ha like for now, for example, on this podcast, who knew I'm just gonna sit there and cry? That was a form of release. So I feel 100%, especially, and I can relate to you walking away from situations that did not serve you. So, and I feel walking away is also a form of release. You're releasing the person from your life, or you're releasing people from your life that you think they are no good for you, no good for your path. Absolutely. Releasing, purification, even being diagnosed with like this condition called adenomyosis, which is actually a condition of the uterus, where my uterus will hold on to blood. So I feel like physically also there's a lot of manifestation of I'm holding on to, but the mother is like, all right, you need to release. You have a lot of resentment about your lineage. And that was for me, a lot of resentment about my lineage, which I found out just today, actually. It's funny. We're talking about release. So a lot of crying for me, a lot of a lot of rituals where I'm trying to cut cords to release people, their energies from my body, because I think I'm just holding on to so much. And releasing even my old identity was something that I had to learn. This happened after the experience. Like, the person I thought I was, I'm not that person anymore. And I know I'm still learning. I'm not there yet. I'm not some guru or some master. Hell no, I'm still a learner, a beginner in this journey. Yeah, so 100%, I would say. A lot of releasing and purification.
Yeah, it's very common, right? It seems that you did lots of preparation and working towards this Kundalini awakening, and yet still there's still ongoing work to be done even after. And I just want to just highlight that for those who may think that there may come a point where our work is done. I
Oh
haven't.
no. Oh
Yeah.
hell no. And this was my biggest illusion too. I just want to say that. When I was told Kundalini is something you want to achieve, okay, I was that person who kept on doing the work. But okay, I achieved it. All right, now what? I'm still suffering in my own way. It's not that okay, you're gonna, I don't think the work is done. I think we have to keep doing the work until she tells us, all right, no more. Here's a crown for you. You're done. I don't know if that's going to happen in this lifetime. I just wish I never come back to the planet again. So I'm working on
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one working on that.
that.
Yeah, it's very interesting, this illusion of a sense of finally making it, where we can just kind of rest and be in perfect peace. And I don't think so. I think we're here to grow, and it's around challenges that we grow, of course. And like I was sharing a little bit earlier, how we were talking about, as light workers, as healers, We need some degree of suffering in order to be educated on what we're supporting other people through. And so it comes with the
Right.
territory.
Exactly. And I just want to share this with the audience that how did I meet Brent, okay? Because obviously I'm going through Kundalini awakening myself, and I love this topic, and I was always told by multiple teachers of mine that you need to share about the divine feminine, you need to share about Kundalini experience. And I'm like, oh, women don't understand it. They don't know what Kundalini means. And I'm like, maybe I'm the only one who knows about Kundalini, is what I used to think until I hit upon your podcast. And I would binge listen to your podcast every day. I'm going through like at least two episodes minimum because I have a daily practice of walking. So I'm like, when I would listen to you, I was like, damn, he's a guy and he knows so much about Kundalini energy. And I would listen to other people too on Kundalini, but I did not relate to them. It was too, I don't know, too much of boastfulness about teaching the topic. And you were this humble guy I'm listening to. I can feel your energy, feel the mother talking through you. And I'm like, no, this is the person I would love to follow, learn from, follow and learn. And I hope one day I can interview him. And that's the day I'm like, I need to interview this guy. I hope he says yes. And then I sent you a request. I'm like, you're like, yeah, let's do this. I was like, oh, finally, mother, thank you. I really want to talk about Kundalini. I really want to talk about it. I want to learn about it. I want to learn other people's experience. And that's when I stumbled upon you. So I'm very fortunate that you have also gone through this experience because I feel like so like people don't really understand this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, Dimple, thank you so much for the support and of course the invitation to be on your show. This is why I'm doing this. I don't. I, this is so mysterious for anybody to claim they know everything about this is absolutely ridiculous, right? We have to just discuss it together and sit also in awe of the whole mystery of it together as well. And sometimes that can just evoke deep emotional experiences, just awe, wonder. Right, love, and it's so beautiful. So I'm so happy to have you on the show here. I'm sure now people will binge our episode together, this one here. So that's great. Talk to us a little bit about your work supporting women in particular. Of course, the links to all of your work will be in the description, but let us know a little bit about how that looks for you lately.
Sure. So, you mentioned it that we all have to go through suffering ourselves so that we can share with other people. So we have to go through the suffering, but while we are in the suffering, we are questioning why, what's going on, why me, why me? And I figured the women that I'm helping today, and again, I stumbled upon this, right? That I'm like, why am I teaching yoga? Why am I teaching meditation? But okay, yoga and meditation, anyone can teach, but what am I doing different, first of all, in this world of social media and this world of keeping yourself separate and making yourself different? I'm like, what am I gonna do different? I don't understand. And then this again came to me in meditation. And I feel like the mother always talks to me in meditation in other ways. And she is like, Dimple, you are your niche. You need to focus on other women who have gone through similar issues that you have gone through, like betrayal, okay, burnout, assault, violence. Yeah, you're not perfect, but can you help them? Because you may be just two steps ahead. Okay, done. That's the work I do. So I obviously like to tell these women who are stuck in their minds and bodies and hearts that this is not going to last forever. You will come out of it if you make a change. And those changes are usually through, we talk about it first. We do, so there's coaching involved. I give them access to my course, which simply the end goal is Kundalini. So my last module is about Kundalini because I'm making them do what I did in my life to get there. So it's like a step-by-step process, a lot of grounding principles, then how to heal your trauma, how to forgive, and how do we release resentment? How do we purify our body? How to heal ourselves emotionally? Okay, and then the last step is about Kundalini. So I just take them on a journey, help them with transforming, especially women who are stuck in toxic relationships, who are stuck not knowing should they leave the husband, should they not leave the husband, even especially when they're going through violence and assault, and even for women who are already divorced and they want to rebuild their lives.
Amazing. Amazing. I love the idea of the course that you offer, because it prepares people somewhat. Of course, we can't be fully prepared perhaps, but
No.
with
Yeah.
the tools and the shadow work and the healing work, it begins prior to the major energetic awakening. Whereas in my case, I didn't do much of that work. I had a little bit, but not much, basically nothing. And so after the major energetic awakening, it was just pure hell and confusion. And so I always emphasize for those who don't have yet a major energetic Kundalini awakening, don't go out and chase it. Instead, do the work, take care of yourself, heal, face the
Yeah.
shadow. And this is what you're offering. And I think that's so brilliant, so brilliant. Yeah, this is great to hear. And you know, there's so many people that maybe offer work for women dealing with abuse and burnout and whatnot, but maybe not that many with such deep embodied spiritual wisdom, particularly around the Kundalini awakening process that you have. And that's, of course, just is so valuable, because those that are going through an awakening can't often relate with others if they haven't. And so it's nice to hear that you're out there, and I invite others that are listening in that would like to connect with you to find all the links to Dimple's work in the description. Dimple, thank you so much for sharing with us today. I know that we've glossed over much. I'm sure you've been through so much, and I'm sure there's maybe some more interesting miracles from childhood that you didn't share with us, but maybe another time we'll get into it more. But thank you for your example, your embodiment of the divine feminine, the work you're doing, and the journey that you've been on. I appreciate having you on the show today.
Thank you so much, Brent, for having me on your show. It was my pleasure again, and thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, much love. And to our audience, thanks so much for hanging out with Dimple and I today. We'll see you next time. Much love and peace.